Go.
All right, so we're going to be, now that we're done talking Clippers, Lakers, we're going to move on to the opposite of the defensive end spectrum. the Mavs and the Rockets, where that game looked like for the first half, looked like it was lighting up like a Christmas tree. It looked like it was fun to watch on offense, but there was no defense to be had. So just let's start off with Dan. What were your thoughts on the game?
I think this is kind of a telltale of what the Rockets could run into in terms of playoff matchups with an interior presence, especially with Porzingis had a pretty big night, 39-16, 13-26 from the floor. Only shot 8 threes. I know 8 is still a lot, especially for a guy with 7-3, but we kind of talked about how I had said, you know, I would like to see him be more of an interior presence in terms of having a turnaround jump shot, in terms of being a guy who can put pressure on the defense. And he did do that by getting to the line 11 times. But it goes to show you, and Trey Burke as well, he balled out, looked like he was on another Final Four run. But obviously Luka was Luka, Tim Hardaway was good. But the Rockets, to me, I'm going to let Phil kind of talk about them. I know that he's been real high on them. But I thought, you know, for a team like Dallas, this was a good game. I think this is a game they definitely should have closed out for sure. Curry makes two of those free throws, a guy who shoots, you know, 84% from the line for his career, and he's having a career year, and he's a Curry. So I'd expect him, you know, to be a guy to kind of count on that situation. But percentages, I guess, kind of lived up in that. But Phil, what was your take on the Rockets?
Man, watching the Rockets, it's like, it's literally like a street ball scrimmage. You know, it's just like, they all just go, someone gets the ball. They watch Harden go ISO. When Harden gets the ball, they all like kind of move over to one side of the court, and then he's going one-on-one. And he's going to create one-on-one, or he's going to pull up and take that jump shot. But he's a problem to me. Mm-hmm. Westbrook played a great game. And the thing about Harden, like, I think people sleep on how good of a playmaker he really is. Like, when you think Harden, everyone's talking about the type of scorer he is and how many points he averages. But he really knows how to pass the ball and get it to the open guy for open three. These guys, like, and I know it's Mike D'Antoni's system, but they just put McLemore and House, and they just spread the floor. And these guys are just shooting threes. P.J. Tucker. You know, Eric Gordon was injured, but they just shoot threes, but they don't play defense well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, their motto is that they're just going to outscore you. And I love watching it. It's amazing. Like, watching that game was the best thing on TV. It might have been the best game so far this year. It was amazing to watch.
Really? You said best game all year, eh?
Best game all year. I thought the game was done. You went to go check on your daughter. I thought the game was done, and then I'm seeing someone miss a free throw, and Robert Covington is tipping the ball in with, like, no seconds left, and Porzingis is standing right under the basket. 7'3", and he's standing under the basket, and Covington's going in and tipping the ball in to send it overtime. Now, like,
yeah.
Sorry?
Shows you who's, like, that was the same thing with, you know, back to, like, what we talked about earlier with the Clippers when LeBron, you see that image of, like, he takes that shot and there's literally five Clippers around him. Like, how the hell did he get that rebound? But to the Rockets, yeah. The Rockets game, it was cool to watch because it really felt like it was just like watching Harden be like, all right, who wants it next? You know, it's your turn on that Summer Jam screen. And he was really like, you know, he had the whole back, Oregon. He had the step backs. He was getting, I think he took one mid-range pull-up, and I think he only took it because he was drawing a foul on it. Like, it was great to watch. Russi was, you know, that snarling beast coming down full head of steam. And you know, their thing is, they're, you know, it's pretty clear what D'Antoni is doing. I don't know if they have a system anymore. I feel like it's more like Harden's going to score or create for somebody else, and we're going to score three for every time you score two. And or we're going to score more threes than you can score twos, and we're going to outlast you, and we're going to outgun you. And that's pretty much how they live and die, playing that style. So it's crazy to watch how they just literally decided to take the NBA's math and break it. breaking into little pieces out of, but defensively though, I mean, there was that little stretch where Boban was like literally. My only concern is this, and you guys can speak to it a little bit better.
So you sound like you got a lot of concerns, Omar, because you keep saying my only concern is this, and then you name off something, and then 5 minutes later you say my only like.
Your thing is frozen.
What's going on, bro? Who, me?
I know. You're good now. my only concern is I have seven concerns. But the biggest takeaway I thought was the way they play was they decided that we're not going to offensive rebound, and we're also going to give up a ton of offensive rebounds, because there was that stretch where Boban was literally looked like he was playing with his little brothers. He was just kind of holding the ball up and scoring every 3 seconds, and KP was doing the same thing. This is why when we were talking about earlier, I don't think that's the kind of game where the way Houston was shooting early, Dallas should have won that game. And I really worry. They have the worst clutch record, I think, in the NBA by far. And that's why we were previewing the West, the bottom half. I always felt like they're a fun team to watch, but I feel like they're going to lose in 5 or 6 games just because they don't have a wing presence, and you can't play Houston like that. You can't win that way. Houston's going to have to – the problem with Houston's going to have is, again, if they play a team with a big man that just decides to who's mobile enough to stay with their guys and rebound, I don't know how you're going to – you can't block their shots. Like, you know, if Boban is getting second and third jumps, he's tall, but he's not the most athletic guy in the world. That's something they're going to have to try to address. But if I'm looking at their team in general, that was definitely fun. That was definitely fun basketball to watch. It was cool watching. It was like breakneck pace for sure. And it was the least sloppy on offense, because I feel like if we've gone through every one of these games, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, this was the only one that didn't look constipated. The Raptors game looked constipated at times. The Clippers game looked constipated at times. This was the only one that felt really free-flowing. Sorry for all the toilet analogies.
I mean, yeah, no, I. Oh, sorry. You go ahead, Daniel.
Oh no, go ahead, man. Didn't want to cut you off there. I was just agreeing with him.
Yeah, no, it's just like, you know, I just like, we all know Dallas isn't real. They're just someone that's kind of just playing around there. We don't know if they're going to be better next year. They don't have any young players where we're like, okay, you know what? Give this guy a year or two and he's going to be a problem. Like, they're just there, you know, and they're going to go as far as Luka and Porzingis and, you know, Tim Hardaway, like, you know, they're just there. And, you know, it was interesting. I was listening to an interview with, it was Rick Carlisle. And Rick Carlisle's like, yeah, we're not going to be real until we have a top five defense in the league. I think they have a bottom five defense in the league. So I don't know when the top five defense is going to come to help them out and save them, but they are far from being a good team, especially and even watching that game down the stretch, Porzingis went MIA. Like, he wasn't anywhere to be found in that game. So, you know, they got a lot of problems, man. They got a lot of problems.
Now he's got that Bargnani syndrome where it's like, you know, he'll play good for stretches, and then there'll be like a whole quarter or half, or like, oh yeah, he's on the floor. You know, that's not a good thing. And you know, nobody puts Bargnani syndrome in, and that's never a good thing.
If
you guys can kind of speak to it, I'm more focused on Houston because just I feel like there's such a high variance team where they're like, if there's a, it's weird because I look at them and I think there's so many problems when it comes to their defense, but I also feel like they could mess around and beat the Clippers. You know, like it's really and just because they have two guys that, again, high variance, who could destroy your whole season. So it'll be interesting to watch, especially rested Harden. He's got, you know, Yoga Harden looks good. So
he's put in the work, right? We talked about this, right? You can see the guys that when the season was out and we're in quarantine, you see the guys that were putting in work. You know, and they came. Some of these guys look fresh. Like Harden looks fresh. Even Russie. Russie had. He caught the virus.
Yeah, Russie. You know what I'm saying? Russie beat COVID and then came back.
Like he had COVID, and you know, he was out for a little bit, and then he came back, and he looks the same. Yeah, he looks fresh. He looks like he's been playing.
The guys who if you're looking at this, the stars look like the stars. The only one, like LeBron, looks a little bit off with his handle. He keeps losing the ball sometimes. But he looks physically good. PG, we've talked about. AD in that first game, especially. Kawhi.
Kyle Lowry.
Harden. Kyle Lowry. Like, all the studs have come out. The guys who struggled look like, you know, unfortunately, guys like Pascal, who, you know, hopefully just the first game. And then, you know.
He said he didn't pick up a ball all quarantine. I told you guys this, and I believe him. Because the way he looked yesterday, he looked horrible. He looked like the ball's just trying to slip out. He doesn't have that first step burst anymore. He didn't have a lot.
No, even though and one he had against KCP, like
he led with his foot.
He had to kick him and elbow him to get that shot off. I was like,
dude,
I was
so upset. The only reason why it worked was because it was KCP on the other side.
Yeah, it was just he was so much smaller than he was. But yeah, and he had to elbow him. He gave him that Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, if they call that foul on me, I would have lost my mind. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, back to Houston, and I'll let you guys again, because I literally missed the game thanks to my daughter, but the end of the game. But the Houston, to me, is – Houston and Philly are the two teams that are the most fascinating to talk about just because it's just like, what are these teams, you know? Mm-hmm. And Houston – is just if Harden is healthy and can hold together, because it always feels like he gets to the end and he's gassed and he just like playing this way. Is it sustainable to play this pickup style that Phil talks about where, and you guys can, you know, you can tell me, and I feel like Phil's more pro Houston in this chat, but
I am Houston.
It just feels like, is this sustainable to play this way where you got a guy who's literally spending all game on the island. That's physically taxing. Like, people who don't know, understand basketball don't understand. It's hard to play that way. It is very hard on the body to come down and have to create every single time. It takes a special kind of athlete. And Harden is so strong, right? And you know, it takes a special person to do that. And that's why I'm only worried if he can hold up. If he can hold up, I said, like, they can mess around and, like, beat the Clippers, and I wouldn't be surprised. They could lose in the first round, and I wouldn't be surprised because I have no accurate read on the team. So what are you guys' thoughts on Houston and their chances after watching one game?
I mean, for me, I definitely think that they're a team to be reckoned with. I know we kind of said, like, they're very high variance, but just looking at their roster, and I know they don't really have any big-time, I guess, role players, maybe outside of Eric Gordon and Robert Covington. I know P.J. Tucker is a guy that, yeah, he's a role player, but he's not really a guy you can count on to shoot 40% from three, like, for a whole series. Maybe in a stretch of a game, sure, he can get hot, especially from the corner, but I think to Phil's point, they have two nuclear weapons, just like the Lakers do. Two MVPs, two guys that kind of they've displayed the new day of basketball. I know Westbrook doesn't really shoot a lot of threes, but to me, I think just the way their usage is, they can kind of trade who's going to take turns of – I feel like they have that best – they have that pretty much down the best out of any team in the NBA. And I think it may have to do with the amount of, like you said, with D'Antoni, there's not maybe a real system in place per se, but I think the free flowing allows for them to kind of take turns and pick their spots of where they can get their buckets. And I think they've mastered that. So to me, I think, although they did give up 150 points, I still think, you know, they're still a team.
Yeah,
I think the whole Harden thing, I think it does work, just simply because this is a half season, man. This isn't a full season where you got to do it all game. I think when you have an 82 game season and you depend on him from game one straight to 82, and then you jump in the playoffs and then the first round because you're in the West, you got to get out the West in a 6-game series, so that drains you a little bit. Then you're on. That's where you have a big problem. But these guys just had 4.5 months off. which is why Harden looks so fresh. He's a gym rat. The guy that all the guy does is play ball. He loves playing ball. He isn't a guy that's injury prone like Paul George. Paul George is a guy that, yeah, he's hot. But we know two things. We know Paul George is going to get injured. It's going to be something. It's going to be a shoulder, knee, back, something. Or he's going to get worn out, because Paul George seems to go on these like streaks where he gets super hot and then he gets super cold. You know, we need, and the whole thing that we always have a problem with Paul George, and why me personally, and I know you guys have this issue, why he isn't in the top 10 in our, it's consistency. You know, it's always something with Paul George. It's his back, or it's his neck, or he's not shooting well, he's not aggressive enough, or he has to be a number two guy on the team. When Paul George, with the talent that he has, he should be a number one guy. Plain and simple.
Yeah. I think, yeah, that's true. I think he just, I think he fits in as a number two just because of how his temperament is. That's why you can see that with OKC. He kind of took the back seat to Russell. And Russy tried to, like, in the beginning, especially try to make it about, try to get PG a lot. But towards the end, you could just tell PG's, Russy's just, you know, he's got that dog in him. He's like, all right, you ain't going to shoot. Yeah. I'm going to shoot. I don't even care, right? So, yeah, I think that was I think that was good. I think Houston is definitely a team to be reckoned with moving forward.
Especially if they get hot, Omar. If they get hot, and that's the thing about Houston. Out of all the teams in the league, they can get hot like that, and they have the surrounding guys that they're average players at best, like McLemore and House. But all those guys can get hot. All those guys can give you 8 threes in a game, and you'd be like, "Where the hell did this come from?" Kind of like the old Houston Rockets, where they had Sam Cassell getting hot one game, then kind of Daniel's boy Mario Elie balling out, you know, for 16-point career high type of thing. And then, you know, Sam Cassell or Kenny Smith or Robert Ori, they had different guys that can get hot at different times, right? And I think that's what this Houston team has. They got different guys that can step up, and they can really shoot a three. And they spread it out so much that they're going to shoot and shoot and shoot. And you better be ready to run with them and keep up with them, because Harden is a beast. Harden is a beast. Harden is a top 5-6 player in the league. He's an animal. So you gotta game plan for him. And they're not like it's incredibly hard to game plan for a guy that doesn't lose confidence, doesn't have can shoot from anywhere on the court, and can get to the basket and get to go to the line 15, 16, 17 times a game. It's hard.
Yeah, and then speaking of guys that are beasts. With Dame Lillard in Portland, if you guys want to talk about that Portland-Memphis matchup, because, you know, this is kind of why we're here in the beginning, is we're trying to figure out, these are seeding games, right? Like, teams are trying to be in pecking order, but the actual, you know, competitive, who's in and out, is that 8th, 9th seed. Before we move on to Portland and Memphis, you know, it looks clear that New Orleans doesn't seem to even want the way they're playing Zion makes me feel like they don't even care if they don't. I don't feel like they know they don't have enough games to get in, and that's how they're treating it. And they just want to get out the bubble healthy. But moving on to two teams that are actually trying to get in, what are you guys' thoughts about Portland and Memphis and the game that happened there?
To me, you can definitely see with the Blazers team why a lot of people had them in the top half of the West. When they're fully healthy, they're a pretty potent team. Offensively, they do have good size. The defensive side of things kind of worry me in terms of, like you had kind of talked about, Hassan Whiteside and Nurkic. And even watching the game, Whiteside had 4 fouls, and so did Nurkic as well. And you could kind of tell that Terry Stotts trying to play with his lineups, trying to go big, go small, try to figure out which combinations work. But Dame and CJ, those are two guys we know, we've seen it. We know how potent they can be, and I think having a Melo there beside them gives them some release.
Here we go, Phil.
I know, it's coming.
Hey, man, he brought
it's coming.
Trains literally, you put a ding anytime. Yeah, he brings him up, yo.
Yeah, but of course you got Melo there. Melo balled out, and you know that people know in terms of his game, he's predicated on scoring. You know, he's a guy who's going to get buckets. But I think having that wing or stretch four type of scorer, that helps them. And I think that kind of poses a threat to teams. Maybe they don't beat LA, but I could see them, like Omar said, if Dame's going to detonate your face with a 50 ball, and that'd then you have –
series.
Yeah, that's going to be a harder in series. But
Six for seven.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. And Nurkic gives them another playmaker at 18-9, had 5 assists, you know, second on the team, or third on the team in terms of assists in the game. CJ and Dame can play make, and having another passer as well who's big and also is a big screener can get them clean looks. And going to the other side of Memphis, this is an up-and-coming team for sure. They definitely have some issues for me. They do have good front court players in terms of Triple J and Jaren Jackson Jr. Brandon Clark looks like he's going to be a pretty solid player as well. The JV situation to me, Omar kind of, you know, joked around about this. He had 5 fouls, and he was in situations where he just couldn't get his hands out the way, or he's caught in an island. Did have a huge first half, but was non-existent, almost like Bargnani syndrome in that game, where it was like, man, he's still on the floor, but he was out there, but he was hacking his way out of it. And as great as Ja is, I'm just questioning what type of production will they get on the wings. Dylan Brooks did have a good game, but I did hear a stat about him going, if I'm not mistaken, they're 4-15 when he's held below 20 points, but they're like 15-5 or something absurd like that when he scores 20 or more. So that kind of variance, like, do you guys see them being a team that's going to be consistent enough to, you know, knock off Portland?
No, not at all, man. I think, you know, especially with I don't think they have enough to. They're that young team in the league, and they haven't been there before, right? So they're kind of fresh. They're playing freelance, loose ball. They're having fun and stuff. But I don't think they're a real team right now. I think maybe in a year or two, they got to go through some things. But I don't think they're real. In my opinion.
Yeah, this, you know, the Dylan Brooks stats kind of shows you that they don't have consistent wing play. That's what that stat shows me. That they're depending on a guy. Dylan's a good player, Mississauga kid. But, you know, he seems like a guy on a really good team would be coming off your bench. And they feel like the fact that they have to depend on him to be their wing player, you know, kind of doesn't bode well for them. But I'm just going to kind of focus on Portland. If you were to start this bubble all over again, let's say for some reason the season got canceled and we're going bubble part two, because there is a rumor, you know, the Silvers has mentioned that they probably going to have to do something like this again to at least start the year. I don't know how you're going to do this for 7 straight months. You probably have to break it up in segments. But yeah, if you were going to go through the West, if you went, who are the healthy teams, right? You'd probably go in any order. You're going to go the LAs. Houston, Golden State, and then you're going to have Portland in that conversation, right? And then Denver. But those are the teams. Like, if the Portland, because of their injuries and what happened to them, are a 9th seed that shouldn't be a 9th seed. They're, you know, they're way ahead of they're punching out of their weight class. They're clearly better than Memphis. They're better than Dallas. I like them even better than OKC in terms of their personnel makeup, just because they – you know, and speaking of, you know, Dallas, boy, a lot of those teams, especially a team like the Lakers, are going to regret not picking up a guy like Melo, because he can still, at his age, and especially in that system where they're not asking him to carry a team, you know, they're just asking him, hey, for 2 minutes, can you be what you used to be? And he does that. He gets into those stretches where he gets that face-up game, and he's got Zion turning and twisting and turning, and he's hitting the pull-ups against Toronto. He's hitting the open threes like he did. He hit those huge shots against Memphis to kind of end that game. That's on top of Dame. That's on top of CJ. That's, you know, and on top of Nurkic. So, again, their only thing is, again, their biggest hole is going to be defensively in that front court. Mm-hmm. That front court doesn't move its feet well. That front court fouls a lot. That front court, especially with Whiteside, will gamble a little bit too much. So you can kind of get them. That's going to be their weakness, but they're way better. Memphis, you know, JV in space, we know what it is. If you get him on a pick and roll, he can only do so much. He can score. He's a beast down low. He can post up. But in today's NBA, a lot of teams are just going to be like, we're good with you doing this. We're not going to send a double. Fine. Mm-hmm. If JV, go score 40. You're not going to do it, right? And it's not sustainable. Ja is amazing. The kid's electric. I worried about the way he lands. I'm worried about him getting some kind of knee injury just because he's so reckless. Sometimes when that kid lands, I get scared. But, you know, he'll punch it on anyone's head for sure. But it really comes down. It looks like in the West, it's going to come down to those two teams. Maybe Portland runs out of games or something, but Portland's the better team. They should be able to force the playoff. And then Memphis might be in some serious trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. I me and Daniel spoke about this the other day. I'm a big Portland fan right now. I think they got some depth on that team. You know, you guys are talking about Whiteside and Whatmore, but you know, Nurkic is starting to look like he's back to normal. One stat that you left out of that last game, Daniel, he had 6 blocks that last game.
He
had 6 blocks. You know, and this is the guy that missed, you know, a year and a bit from a major injury. And, you know, he's got his bounce back. He's athletic. He's energetic. So you don't really have to play Whiteside that much right now when you have Nurkic playing there, right? Which is good, right? Like, that's a good problem to have. Yeah, and, you know, you have Dame and CJ. And those guys, you know, those guys keep coming at you, man. Those guys keep coming at you. And then you have – like, they're a deep team, and I think they're going to be a problem, guys. We can't sleep on them.
I've slept on Collins because of with Collins out there, they don't have to play Whiteside with him at all. So they can kind of – they can play one at a time, kind of like – almost like a lesser version of what the Raptors have with Serge and Mark. They don't really have to play they don't have to release. They can stagger the bigs. But the biggest and they stop playing after. Anthony Simmons is it Anthony?
Yeah, they really didn't play.
Simons.
He struggled.
He struggled
early. He was having some rookie problems. I think Stotts is realizing that, you know, defensively that kid has a long way to go. But yeah. they're treating this game like a sprint. They look like they're ready to take it. The other teams kind of look like they're just kind of there. It does look like it's a Memphis Portland. Situation, and I would not want to. If I'm the Lakers, like you're probably gonna win that series, but it's gonna suck. That's not gonna be a good first round at all.
Just want to thank OP and Phil for taking time out of their weekends to help record this episode. Definitely had some good dialogue, and it's gonna be intriguing to see where things go in the NBA as we were spoiled with a good weekend of basketball, good opening weekend of basketball. And yeah, that's all I got for you guys today. Hope you guys enjoy your week. Take care, people.
That's all, folks.